the human being, the insan, if he wants to obtain something, to acquire something, to get something, then fundamentally the quality that we need, without which we cannot reach to our objective or acquire what we want, whether it's a worldly objective or an objective relating to the akhirah, the hereafter, basically the fundamental thing which is important that we need, and we really essentially need this, and if we don't have this, then we are minus in the results books. We can never attain what we want, what we desire. And if we have less of this, then it's very, you could say, unlikely we will reach to our objective. And if with the fadl of Allah, with the blessings of Allah, that quality is inherent within us, it is strong, then inshallah, that person will reach to his destination, to his objective. And our biggest objective is Raza-i Haq. Our objective is to obtain Allah Ta'ala's Raza, Allah's pleasure. Everything else is secondary. We continuously and we repeat on a regular basis this point, this fact, that our objective is to attain Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Our objective is not the dunya, is the world. And even in the world, to attain the objectives of the world, we need this quality as well. But Allah Ta'ala's nearness and the akhirah is the highest station. And that's what we need to get to. So what do we need? What quality do we need to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness and Allah's pleasure? That is talab, which is the need, the deep feeling of need and a deep-rooted desire. So whenever you want to obtain something or get to somewhere or get something in the world or the akhirah, then we need that deep-rooted desire. If I don't have the desire, that feeling of the need, I cannot attain my objective, nor can I be successful in my aims. But if I had that talab, if I have that deep-rooted desire and want, the want, then Allah Ta'ala opens the doors. Allah Ta'ala opens the pathways. And this is the reality of life, my friends. The Qur'an Hakim has stated this fact to us very clearly, that this kitab, Hudal Linnas, Allah Ta'ala says. What is this kitab? That for all human beings everywhere, this is hidayah, guidance, and it tells us the way, the path to get to our destination, our objective. Hudal Linnas, whether somebody believes in Allah or not, has iman or not. Every man, every woman, every creature. So this Qur'an has been sent as hidayah for every person in mankind, becomes the path of guidance. Whether a person is of whatever thinking or background or creed or color, iman or not iman. But the fact here is Allah says, on top of this, hudal lil muttaqeen. And the mufassireen here have said, the commentators of the Qur'an have said that here where Allah Ta'ala mentions muttaqeen, then the first thing for taqwa, to have for the nearness of Allah, is talab, deep-rooted desire, the want, the need. As soon as a person gets a bit of desire, want, you know, taqwa is khawf, fear of Allah, thinking about Allah. When a person thinks, he says, Allah, what will happen to my akhirah? And he thinks a little bit, he's a sinner, very sinful person, and says, oh, look at my life, I'm passing my life, I'm wasting my time, what will happen to me? That's it, that's enough. What happens? Hudallil muttaqeen. This thought will draw that person, and with the fadl of Allah, he will come into the group of the muttaqeen. He'll become a muttaqeen. Just on the initial slight thought. Hazrat Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Alay, great sheikh, great teacher, great wali of Allah, from the mashayikh, many people benefited from him, and they, mashallah, improved their lives, and many muftiyan and scholars from who? Hazrat Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah. Now, he gave a nasiha once to one of his students, and he said that success is one thing, and he gave a beautiful example to explain his point to his student. He said there was a woman, and she needed some coal, you know, like the coal embers, like in the village areas, you need to put a fire in the house so you can cook. So she went next door to the neighbors and said, can you give me a bit of coal, can I borrow it so I can set my light my fire? Nowadays we have gas and we have fuel, we don't need this. But she went to the next door, the neighbor, and said, have you got any coal burning embers I can borrow? And they do this regularly, they then take that to their home. home, and then they would light their fire so that they could use the heat to do their daily tasks. And we've seen this in our lives when we were younger. So this is the example. Hazrat Sahib said that this was the old generation. Hazrat Haji Imdad al-Muhajir Makkah, that is a sheikh from the older generation, from the previous century, early century. And this woman in her village, she went to her neighbor and said, "Have you got any burning sort of coal, or I can use your coal and then I can go take it to my house and light my fire?" And the neighbor said, "Oh, I don't have any. We have put our fire out quite a long time ago, so none of the pieces of coal are burning." She said, "Oh, can you give me permission? Let me just poke my sort of stick through the embers and through the pieces of coal. Maybe I can see something that's still light, that's lit and hot." So she went and started to poke through the coal pieces and the embers, and she saw from through the ashes a light. One of the pieces of the embers was lit. So she took that, she took it home, and then she blew on it, and alhamdulillah, her fire was lit in her home, and she cooked the food and bread. So Hazrat Sahib said, Hazrat Imdadullah Muhajir Sahib, Muhajir Makkah, said, "If a person has even a small amount of desire in his heart, a small piece of burning or glowing light in his heart, then Allah Ta'ala calls that person towards himself." Subhanallah. This is how great is talab, desire, want. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, there were four people in his time: Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, Utbah, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So these were the four individuals at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were opposed to Islam. These were the early days of Islam, and they used to oppose the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All four of them always had their swords. "I'm going to finish Islam. I'm going to finish the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was in that similar category. And one day he was angry. He was told something. He had some news leaked to him. Somebody said to him, "Forget about talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Worry about your own family. Your sister, she's coming to the deen." And he went and knocked on the door, and he banged down the door, came into the house and started beating his sister's husband and his sister. She said, "Do whatever you want, Umar, but I'm your sister and we are from the same father. You can commit force, but I'm going to stay a Muslim. So to that point, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was different. He was enraged. He had anger radiallahu anhu. But when he saw the istiqamah, the steadfast of his sister, steadfastness and her blood flowing, and she was firm and stood firm on a path, then suddenly, subhanallah, at that time, in the heart of Umar, a small ember glowed, a small slight ember, slight glow of light and spark. It came. He said, "Okay, show me what you've got. Just a little bit here to show. A little bit of desire. A little bit of a thought. A little bit of thinking and pondering." He had a slight thought in his head. "Okay, what is it? Why do you read this Quran? Or what is it that your deen? What's your deen?" Hudal lil muttaqeen. Straight away, from that Quran, the people used to be angry and were enemies and were opposed to it. The same Quran gave hidayah to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Talab came, desire came, the deep-rooted desire and the want and the need. And if that want isn't there, you can reveal Quran upon Quran, no effect. This is the reason why the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Hazrat Umar radiallahu, then, so this point will stay half. So I'll complete it. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, when he asked this question, then he needed a bit of assistance, assistance from the Quran. Then his sister said, "Yes, I'll tell you." He said, "Show me that kitab." So the talab came, the desire came. Now see the power of the Quran. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Because this is the promise of Allah. Now you create the desire and see where the Quran will deliver you. When we read the Quran, we keep reading the Quran, reciting us, we don't have desire and a need. We keep on dragging on the Quran or reading the Quran. The Quran will not give an effect. First we need to have the desire. What's my life? Am I right? Am I following the right path? Am I going towards Jahannam? I'm drowned in sins. I don't consider haram as haram and halal as halal. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't understand the orders of the Quran, the direction of the Quran. When this little bit of thinking comes into the mind and the heart, then recite the Quran. Wallahi, every verse will give hidayah to us. Every verse will give us guidance. Every verse will look unique and we'll feel that this has been revealed for me. And we'll all feel that Allah Ta'ala is telling me, this is to solve my problems. The path has opened up for me. Subhanallah. That what events can I tell you that I have seen, experienced and heard in my life? Alhamdulillah, man is amazed at the beauty and the effect of the Quran, the same Quran. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Okay, bring the kitab, bring the verses." And then in the narration, there's two narrations on this. In one narration, this one surah Hadid was open. Sabbaha lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard wa huwa al-azizul hakeem. So here, beautiful point has been written by a commentator. If we see here, that here came the desire on one side of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. What was the verse that Allah Ta'ala showed him? The whole universe and whatever's within it does the dhikr of Allah. Remembers Allah. So here the commentators of the Quran have said that if you have desire, on top of that, the dhikr of Allah, the nur ala nur comes into the life of that person. Say subhanallah again, subhanallah. Because a person has a desire,
The talab, the want, and on top of that, the path, dhikr, then Hazrat Umar radiallahu's life changed. Subhanallah, ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Wahuwal, how can it be that a person has desire, a need, a want, and he does dhikr well, and the path doesn't open up? The question doesn't arise. Ah, if he hasn't got desire, and he does dhikr, then the Quran will not have any effect. Have to have the desire, have to have the need, have to have the want, the requirement, the need. And before a person comes to the majlis, he knows my desire, my passion, my intention from his every breath, from every breath, she'll know. Am I listening with love, attention, attentively, concentrating, focus? Am I sitting with this love? Am I interested in being here? Do I want to be here? Am I here for something? Hazrat Mulana Rumi rahmatullahi, one of his Persian shair, is one of his Persian couplets, and he was an arifin, a great sheikh, and he said that, look, that you are, don't look for the water too much, reduce that, but first create the thirst. Create the thirst. Don't run around. Subhanallah, what a great, great couplet verse. Then why reduce your efforts in finding the water? In reality, you need to create the thirst. When you create the thirst, then Allah Ta'ala from the heavens and the earth will give you water to quench your thirst. Ah, great, great, deep, deep statements of the Arifin. So what are we lacking? We are lacking the talab. We are lacking the want and the desire and the need and the thirst. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he had the thirst at the time. The Quran gave him hidayah guidance and his heart opened up, and then he didn't stay as Umar. Then when he reached to the court, the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he was Furuq-i Adam, hudan lil muttaqin. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, you create the thirst, the want, I will take you to your destination to such a height you cannot imagine where I will take you. So the sinful person, he's sinful, dark, he's got evil effects of sins in his heart and he's drowned in the sins. Then just think for a few moments, Allah, I don't know what's going to happen to me. What will happen to me, Allah? I'm not on the right track. Allah Ta'ala says, leave the rest to me. I will prepare success for you. I will take you to my friends, seat you down. From wherever I will deliver you, wherever you are in the depth of darkness, I will deliver you to the light and success. And all of the awliya in the history of Islam, they got to their station due to the talab, their desire. So if I had realized and recognized it today, and I make an intention, Allah, I want to get to your pleasure, but to be forced to practice, to count, and to make a log of this is how much I've done, and my heart doesn't feel like doing it, there's no desire, there's no enjoyment in ibadah, then this is not the style of want, talab. Talab is what? That Allah, I have passion for your love and pleasure. And it's just come into the spark, it's just come into the heart. Allah Ta'ala opens the doors and the paths. This was the time of the Prophet Muhammad now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in one row, the Sahaba Ikram were praying salah. All of them were standing in a row. And those who had talab, desire, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and great Sahaba. And those who didn't have the talab, they were stood behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listening to the Quran, sitting in the gatherings. They didn't have the talab, and they could have been in the group of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, in the same gathering. We had the Sahaba Ikram, the great desire, and those who didn't have the desire. They said, what's dhikr? Do we have that today? What is dhikr of Allah? What's the remembrance of Allah? I need to get close to Allah. How will I succeed in the Day of Judgment? We don't have thoughts like this. We don't have intentions like this. When we don't have this desire, then we can never get to that destination. I speak about the Sahaba, and now I remember a pious elder from our silsila, Hazrat Baqi Billah rahmatullah alayhi, who is from the Naqshbandi silsila, one of the initial sheikhs in Hindustan, in the Indian subcontinent. He came first, and due to his efforts, the silsila spread. Hazrat Baqi Billah rahmatullah alayhi, great sheikh from the Aqabirin, from a Salaf Salim, from the pious predecessors, great sheikh. From Hazrat Baqi Billah, and from Hazrat Baqi Billah rahmatullah, his students came Hazrat Sheikh Ahmed Farooqi Sanandi rahmatullah, and then from him all of the silsila spread across the Indian subcontinent and the world. So Hazrat Baqi Billah rahmatullah was a great sheikh in this silsila, the Naqshbandi order, the series of sheikhs. And mashallah, he had jazb, he had a lot of passion, and he loved to do the dhikr of Allah, and he was a great shakir and a dhakir. Great effects of his teachings. And with regards to Hazrat Baqi Billah, just with this point I'm speaking about talab, need, and the desire and the want, and where it takes a person. By chance, once in the night time in his khanqah, a journeyman came, somebody was traveling, and who's writing this? Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, great sheikh, great scholar in his tafsir. He did tafsir of Quran, Fatah Tafsir. Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz writes Surah Iqra, and he did the tafsir, and he knows that how great was Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, what was his maqam from the mufassirin, from the scholars in tafsir. And in his tafsir, his own tafsir, he wrote this event about Surah Iqra. And he wrote that at one stage there was a sheikh, and Hazrat Baqi Billah rahmatullah alayhi, in his time, what happened? And in his Kamalat, he writes that once in his khanqah, a person came. It was night time, And the person who was traveling, he was there in the Khanqah, and Hazrat Baqi Billah Rahmatullah didn't have anything to feed his guest then. But this was opposite to honor and respect, respecting and honoring the guest. This was not right that he couldn't feed him something. So he was thinking, was worrying, and it was nighttime, how will I make food? And he was worrying that this guest of mine has come, he'll stay hungry. And obviously the walis of Allah, they feel this, they are touched by the need of a person. So the traveler, he was there, and the nanbai who was running his tandoor, his small, you could say like cafe or restaurant, he heard that there's a guest who's come to Hazrat Baqi Billah Rahmatullah, and nobody's got food to give to him. He said, okay, I'll feed the guest, Hazrat's guest, I will earn some reward. So I've gonna soon close down my tandoor. Before putting the fire out, he made some naans and bread, and he went to Hazrat Baqi Billah and said, Hazrat, I brought some food for your guest. Subhanallah, he was so happy, Hazrat Baqi Billah, so happy, and he was so overjoyed that he has brought food for my guest, to feed my guest. And look at the desire in his heart that he had for his guest, that my guest is going to sleep hungry and I can't feed him. And this is the sign of the wali of Allah. So when he fed his guest, then Hazrat Baqi Billah rahmatullahi alayhi went in, mashallah, due to the effect of his walayat, he said, tell me, shall I do dua for you, O naan bhai, the person who made the naan? He said, you have favored me, you've helped me, so tell me, I'll do some dua to Allah for you, that maybe Allah Ta'ala will accept the dua and you will get what you need. And mashallah, he was also great, the naan bhai. Look at his talab, his desire, he had a want, he had a passion. As I said, that there's no destination a person cannot reach if he has desire and want. The more your talab and desire and want increases, Allah Ta'ala will drag us. Allah Ta'ala will drag you, me and everybody if we have desire. There's no limit to what Allah Ta'ala will give to us. So he understood, oh, this is the time to ask Allah to get what I need and eternal success. The person who's cooking the bread and the tandoor, he said, Hazrat, then do dua for me that I become like you. I become like you. Aha, subhanAllah. Now Hazrat, suddenly, what's he asking for here? I've asked him to do dua. I've promised that I'll do dua for him and he'll get what he needs. And Hazrat said, no, ask for something else. This is a bit difficult maybe. What are you asking for? But the tandoor person, the person who owned the tandoor, the baker, he said, Hazrat, I want to become like you, the baker of the bread. I want to be, and where is Hazrat Baqi Billah, his maqam, and where's this baker? And Hazrat was quiet. He said, you're asking me a unique question, something that's not common. Ask for something else that maybe you can get straight away. There are many things that you can ask for dua for, beneficial things. And the baker said, no, you asked me to do dua, and my dua is that I want to become like you. He said, okay, come with me into my hujra. He took him into his room, Hazrat Baqi Billah Rahmatullah. Then obviously the baker was asking from Allah, and you know, that was the condition. Hazrat Baqi Billah raised his hands, went into sajda prostration. Allah, you are the one who can give your mercy. I promised this man that he favored me. I promised him that, do ask me what dua you want. I'll ask Allah for whatever you're asking. And then this man, he's come with a talab, your desire, Allah, your nearness, and you will not even empty him. So this is a talab. So Allah, he is your makhluk, and he is asking for your nearness and for your wilayat, but he's asking in a great question, a great desire. So Hazrat Baqi Billah Rahmatullah raised his hands, did dua. As soon as he lowered his hands, our hands weren't even lowered, and we couldn't see the difference between Hazrat Baqi Billah Rahmatullah, genuine, and the baker. He'd become like Hazrat Baqi Billah. They looked the same, the appearance was the same, they both left the hujra, and the difference only was that the baker was in jazb, because obviously he had become overcome by taqwa and passion for Islam, so his heart was in jazb. And he was overjoyed, and he was mast, and Hazrat Baqi Billah was in his senses, you could say. So this was the difference, you could tell. Otherwise, from top to bottom, the maqams, the iman, the taqwa was the same. So this is talab, and this is where it can take us. So this is an unusual example. After a few days, then he passed away, the baker, but he had attained his destination, the pleasure of Allah. So my brothers, this is a great, great, great event story. Gives encouragement to, you could say, useless people like us. And we don't have talab, we don't have the desire to get close to Allah's pleasure. We talk, chit-chat, gossip, and backbiting. Oh, I've done this, I don't feel like doing it. But my friends, this path, this is the path to Allah. Time has passed, our beards are getting white, or are white up. Life has passed. We don't have talab. If we had talab, desire, then we wouldn't be like this the way we are today. May Allah Ta'ala give us the destiny. Allah would have given us destiny, but we got time. Alhamdulillah, we're still alive, we're still breathing. There are two solutions to create the talab. Number one, that why isn't there deep-rooted desire, want, and the need, the passion for Allah's nearness today in my heart? Why? Because the dunya all around us, there is color and glitter and luxuries and comforts, and there's so much, you could say, laziness and negligence in this day and age that we're living today. This is reality, that today Allah Ta'ala says, if you make a little bit of effort, I'll give you so much reward. The Sahaba Ikram, the companions, their whole life, every second was in the obedience of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They had high maqam. But the Prophet ﷺ foretold at that time that the time will come that to practice deen at that time, it will be as hard as holding coal
burning embers in your hand. So the Prophet ﷺ said that at that time, he told us that in that day and age when it will be hard to practice the deen, the person who revives one of my sunnahs, implements one of my sunnahs, he'll get the reward of 100 shaheed. What a great path, but we don't have the courage, even determination to practice one sunnah. Sunnah, those that are wajib, we don't practice. Forget about those that are ghayr muaqqada, if we don't practice them, they're nafil. But the wajib sunnahs, the compulsory sunnahs that we've been ordered to, that if we don't implement then there's sin, we don't do amal on those sunnahs. Those sunnahs, what sort of talab is this? What sort of desire is this to get Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and closeness? And I'll depart the world in this way. What will then be my treatment on the Day of Judgment? What will be my consequence? I swear by Allah, this Quran tells us that if we leave the world like this, we hear and read about the events of the Day of Judgment and the hereafter, and I'll depart the world in this sinful way. All sins are attached to me. My life is non-sharia, not following Allah Ta'ala's orders. My deen is against sharia and against the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad SAW is my life. And I live my life against the verses of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That those people who have doubt on my kitab, what is doubt? Allah says, all my orders. What is kitab? Allah Ta'ala says, all of my orders and the discipline I've given in the kitab of the Quran. And those who have doubt in the Quran, who don't believe in the Quran, who take out points and say, where is this written? This isn't necessary. This isn't important. This is about the old generations. Allah Ta'ala says that all the hakams I've given to you that are in the Quran, that are revealed in the Quran, the hakams, the orders, the directions, then we have to see, I have to ask myself and analyze that, is my life in reflection to the Quran? A scholar said that don't do this, that you eat what you want and drink what you want and you leave what you don't like, that halal gosht, halal meat, we run after the halal meat shops, but we leave the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So we take the minor things and we leave the major things. What sort of method is this to follow the Quran? What sort of desire is this in our lives? That not one man we can see in the world today who has the right, the genuine, the desire that I need to live my life correctly, get close to Allah. And as I said, the burning ember in the heart takes the person to Allah. And if we analyze today and compare and do a survey, our environment and the whole society, the ummah, then clearly we see what is the fact, the reality, that we have left Allah. We have left Allah. Why have we left Allah? Because we don't have a desire. If we had a desire deep rooted in the heart, Allah, give me the whole deen. Allah, from Alif Lam Mim, from the beginning of the Quran to Surah Nas, to Nas, Allah, the kitab you've given to us, your orders, the framework, the method of life, Allah, give me this because I have this desire, I want to practice this. If a person has this desire, and the intention, and the need, and the want, then can it be that he won't practice deen? I've given you a few examples today. How can it be a person stops and falls down at the hurdle that our business is against Quran? Our home, our family life's against the Quran. Our wife and children, their link is not with the Quran. How can it be? Our standing, sitting, walking, transactions are against the Quran. Our whole life, it is against the Quran. How can it be? The things we like, we bring deen into our life, and those we don't like from Islam, we reject them. The line that is easy to practice, we say, yeah, that's fine. And the rest of the orders and the framework of the Quran, we reject, throw them into touch. No, this is not important. This is not necessary. This was for 1400 years ago. No. This is not the case. This is not deen. So we need to have that desire. We have to ask Allah, Allah, I am a Muslim. I want to become a true, upright Muslim who has no doubt in your kitab, who doesn't extract points and reject things from the Quran. Therefore, Allah, I want to bow my head in front of you. And in this, Allah Ta'ala promises one thing. That you, if you bow your head with talab, with the desire, and I will deliver you to the success, to the reward. So what we realize is that today, the situation that confronts us, that everything else is around us, but we don't have talab inside our hearts. We don't have the desire inside our hearts. It's not present. We're scared. We're afraid. If I start even having the intention that I want to become a good person, then I'll have to become pious. I'll have to leave the dunya. Wallahi, I've seen people like this. They're scared that why do you, Hazrat, you're saying practice deen? If I start practicing, I'll have to leave the dunya. Then I'm scared. I'll have to leave all of the wrong things I'm doing. People are afraid. Though may not be, I'll become pious. I'll become pious. People think I'm pious. Or if my child becomes pious, or and if my son or daughter comes on the right path, then we won't be able to do the wrong things we're doing nowadays. And the rest is all frivolous. All frivolous thinking that I'm good and I'm pious. And inside there's nothing, nothing left. If we want to see inside, then we see the baker who had no capacity at that time. But when he brought his desire, Allah Ta'ala made him a wali. His wali. And he passed away as a wali. Tell me, if you have a tasbih in your hand, you remember Allah, and you have the desire, you want to get close to Allah, you want to become good and a good human being, then Hazrat Umar, sabbaha lillahi ma fis samawati wal ard. What a great desire. Hazrat Umar had the talab radiallahu anhu, and dhikr of Allah at the same time, the verse was revealed, he read that verse of dhikr, then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he attained his destination. And he came into the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he exclaimed his belief. And this is what we need to think, we need to develop this thinking, tafakkur and fikr, brothers, that when I sit to do dhikr of Allah, and I think, what's my destination? Where am I going? Where have I come from? Am I on the right path? Do I have the desire to get close to Allah? Why don't I get close to Allah? So the first thing I have to do is to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness. To even bring the desire into our heart, we need to turn to Allah. And a fikr, Allah, my life, I'm wasting my time. I'm useless. And there's punishments for the time that I've wasted and the sins I've committed. Alhamdulillah, I've prayed salah. Okay, I've saved myself from the sin of not praying. I prayed salah. And I'm saved from the answer of not praying salah. But the rest of the salah is one, isn't it? Salah is one deed, one order. What about all of the other orders of Allah and the other actions I have to implement in my life? What will I say to Allah on the Day of Judgment if I don't practice them now? How will I answer the questions? Allah says, okay, you prayed salah, you fulfilled one farad. You fulfilled one farad. You've implemented one compulsory action. What about the rest of the ibadah, the rest of the worship, mu'ashara, your family life, home, society, rights of people, neighbors, other people? Allah will say, show me those deeds. Where are those deeds? How did you fulfill the rights of Islam? And you say, Allah, I didn't do that. Allah says, okay, now let me account for your deeds. That then all of the other actions will be unraveled and shown. The whole line of people will be stood there complaining. First and foremost will be his wife and children. On the Day of Judgment, the first decision will be on who? The wife. The rights of the wife. The wife will come first. Hey Allah, this is my complaint file. My husband, who thought he was pious, a good man, who used to pray and prostrate, did work of the deen. Now I have removed the veil in front of the whole world, and this was the man who was my husband. He broke my rights, he took my haq, my rights, he usurped my property, and he committed excesses against me and oppressed me. Okay, fine, you prayed salah, you get the word. I will say, okay, here, bring his salah now. Bring salah. Was any salah that's accepted? There'll be no salah from his record deeds that were accepted. Allah says, you just came and went. Came when you prayed, and we, Allah Ta'ala, I pray to you, I worship to you. And why? Allah will say, you came to my home, to a masjid, and we thought, oh, this praying and coming and going, coming, this will be accepted. We didn't pay attention to the other deeds, to the other worship actions, the all the ibadah that we're standing with now. And if our akhlaq is good today, our manners, behavior, maybe due to our high level ibadah, our high level manners and conduct, our ibadah will be accepted. I will say on the Day of Judgment, maybe, okay, fine. Because you fulfill the rights of my human beings, I will accept your worship. But on the Day of Judgment, I will be in such a desperate situation. Allah will say, I don't need none of your worship actions. And the wife will say, I don't need nothing. He can go wherever he wants. I need to go into paradise, will say the woman. And I need to account for this man. So Allah will say, is there anything else in his book of deeds? And Allah will say, yes. The angel will say, Allah, he's got some broken down salah. Allah will say, gather them, collect them. His salah, his hajj, his umrah will all be transferred to his wife. All. Because she's complaining against his conduct. Because we didn't understand deen. We took one segment of deen which we liked, prayer. But we didn't have the desire, I want to become a good person, a good human being. If I had the talab, desire, a good human being, a pious human being, that's why we've taken hold of dhikr, that's why we've got the tasbih in our hands, that's why we've come with the assistance of the shadow of the masjid, all of our mamla, jamaat, congregation, other actions, worship, ta'aleem, all of these deeds we're doing for what reason? So Allah's pleased with us, isn't it? Is there any action we're doing for not getting Allah's pleasure? All of the actions, going on jamaat, propagating deen, tabligh, ta'aleem, dhikr or fiqh, jurisprudence lesson, everyone has the same objective, one, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. And to get Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, the fundamental underlying principle is what? What I said in the beginning, the fundamental underlying principle, talab, desire, deep-rooted, the need, the one desire. And if I am doing all the actions without talab, then my consequence will be negative. If I do dhikr, I'm saying I'm successful, or I'm doing tabligh, I'm successful, or I'm reading Quran and Hadith, I'm successful. No. The situation of the person with talab, whatever subject or path of the deen he's implementing is no blanks. He fills in all the gaps and Allah gives him the rewards. Allah says, فِسِّلْمِ كَافَةٌ. The Quran tells us, totally, completely, we have to come onto the platform of the deen. And because we take deen 50-50, or 20-80, or 10-90, I say, oh, maybe there will be a hukum that will come I can't implement, or if I have to leave riba, interest, or if the hukum for parda comes, or hijab comes, I'll have to practice it, that's hard for me, I can't do it. Oh, I don't want to read too much Quran, I don't want to practice the deen. Or what about ta'aleem for children will come, I'll have to educate them, or tell them what is right and wrong. No, I'm scared. We have no attention, no fikr, no worry for these things. Why? Because we don't have that desire in our hearts. So straight away, in the Quran, first and foremost, Allah promised that only one thing will give you hidayah and the guidance, subhanAllah. One thing will give us hidayah. The Prophet of Allah left this for you. 124,000 companions were the examples for you.
amalan with their deeds, and the kitab, the Quran, has been left with you, O Muslims, till the day of judgment. And if you follow this Quran, then totally you will enjoy the deen, just like the Sahaba Akram enjoyed the deen at the time when the Prophet Muhammad SAW was living. Experience this, take all of the Quran, practice it. I say subhanallah, you will feel that you are living the life of a Sahabi. Subhanallah. Those same beautiful fragrances, the light and the nur in the hearts of the people, comes contentment and peace when the person takes the Quran. Allah Ta'ala said that this is the kitab until qiyamah. Alif lam mim. Thalika al-kitabu la rayba fih. That through the height, the guidance of the Quran, that none of my hukams, there's no doubts in any of my orders. You cannot refuse any of my orders. Reject them, Allah Ta'ala says. Ignore my orders. Leave my orders. Think they are minor, insignificant, not important. Why? Because wherever Allah says, Aqimu Salah, that is my order, Allah says. Wherever there's order of Zakah, Allah says, my order. Parda Hijab, Allah says, that's my order. Every order that's coming from Allah, leave haram, leave unlawful actions, Allah says, they're all my actions, they all have same one status, because they are my kalam, from myself, the orders have come. We have to consider all of the orders equally and practice them equally. This is ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the definition. And to get to this platform station, we need talab. I come to the point again. Desire in the heart. Allah says, Hudal lil muttaqeen. Then leave it to me. I will make you a muttaqi. I will take you from this world as an arifi. Arifi, Allah says. You will leave this world as arifi. It's a very easy path, very easy method. There are two ways. Solution number one to get the desire in the heart is Allah, that look how I'm living my life, thinking, pondering, analyzing, I'm wasting my time. It's not enough what I'm doing. I'm leaving the rest of the deen. When I go home, my wife and children should be happy. What is happy? They're not that they're happy or you give them non-sharia things and they commit. You're happy for them to do haram and they're happy. No. They have to all be happy within the bounds of deen, Islam, the boundary of Islam. And we don't try to please our family by doing haram things, but without any reason, arguing, fighting, and then we say, oh, there's problems and there's quarrels in my home and there's black magic and we need to go to the magician. And the wife says, my husband's put the jinn on me, and the husband says, the wife put the jinn on me, and both are following the wrong path. They haven't taken the orders of Allah. So this is shaitan. He does waswasa in our ears that there's a jinn overpowered and possession. No, there's no jinn, no magic, no jadu, nothing. It's just that we're not following the orders. So let's do dua to Allah, that Allah, give us your talab. Give us the desire in our hearts to get to your pleasure. Allah, allow us a burning, a small piece, an ember, a glowing light to come to our hearts, so our life we can come to your nearness. And you will make the love of the dunya distant from us. And alhamdulillah, wherever we are, the ayah that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu saw, the verse, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَةِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, take it and be steadfast with it. Wherever you're standing, sitting, walking, wherever you are working, relaxing with people in a majlis, alhamdulillah, whatever work of the deen you're doing, whatever subject of the deen you are progressing, promoting, Allah says, don't forget me. When you pray salah, Allah says, don't leave my dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala says this, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala says that when you are there and somebody's opposing you, don't leave my dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says. Don't leave my dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, you're in Arafat, don't leave my dhikr. Don't forget my dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, in Hajj time, with every amal, what has Allah Ta'ala reminded us? That don't leave my dhikr. Otherwise, what will happen? That if you leave my dhikr, then that deen, that section of the deen that you are practicing, then the ruh of that work of the deen you are practicing will come out. The essence, the nur, the light, the good effects, the all of the beautiful effects of salah are due to the dhikr of Allah. Remember this point. That all of the effects of hajj are due to the dhikr of Allah. Remembering Allah. Whatever action of deen we are implementing, if dhikr is not there in parallel in that action, we cannot benefit from the action. But if dhikr is there in parallel, Allah Ta'ala says you will get the mercy, the blessings, the fragrance of that ibadah. But Allah Ta'ala says if you worship me without dhikr, there will be no fragrance and good effect. It will stay like a hollow box. Your salah will be a hollow box. Your ibadah will be a hollow box. Your hajj will be a hollow box. Nothing will remain. Nothing. So this is important. Essentially, if somebody gets dhikr, there's no greater ni'mah than this. No greater ni'mah. Can you tell me about it? Tell me. Some people say, that's okay. I don't have to do dhikr. I say, are you doing dhikr? I don't feel like in my heart to do dhikr. I don't feel like it. I say, okay, the rest of the day you feel like doing things. You don't feel like doing dhikr. This is shaitan. He's putting us off, diverting us, deviating us. And he is successful in his mission. And he has taken the Quran out of our hearts, but we don't feel like it. So the heart is opposing the Quran. Imagine the tactics of shaitan. For a person to say this from his mouth, is this a small thing? Person of iman, he says, I don't feel like doing dhikr of Allah. Allahu Akbar, the whole Quran, 800 places in the Quran. How many places? 800 specific places Allah Ta'ala has mentioned about his dhikr. And Allah Ta'ala has mentioned what? His remembrance in the Quran. Tell me. And we don't feel like doing it. And today we bypass this great action. Then imagine the la'na and the curse that comes on that person, the wretchedness, the darkness in that person's life, the basis of existence of the universe, our khuraq, our food, sustenance, the angels, their living, their existence. Take the smallest, the minor angel to the greatest angel, the muallim, who are carrying the arsh of Allah. What is their function, their duty? Dhikr of Allah. They're continuously remembering Allah. This is in the Quran. Those angels that are holding up the arsh, who are doing tawaf around the arsh, who are remembering Allah, they have only one function, duty. They keep on doing the tasbih of Allah, dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. And we say we don't feel like doing dhikr of Allah. I don't have time. I'm busy. Okay, I'll try one day. And then we say we are true Muslims. Fear the akhirah. Fear the akhirah. Fear that ditch, the hole, the grave where we will be asked three questions and only that person will be able to answer. Man rabbukum, man deenukum, man rasulukum. And we'll be asked about the Nabiyukum. We can only answer those questions in the grave if we remember Allah and follow Allah's orders here on earth. This is a big point. This is not a drama. Life is not a minor thing. We've been given iman. Don't think this is a cheap thing. Allah has given us iman, Quran. We just reject it, deny it, ignore it. Every page of the Quran, every line of the Quran has been given to us by Allah. He's revealed this to us. We cannot reject this. We cannot deny this. We cannot leave this. Let's ask help from the Quran. Help and assistance from the Quran. Oh Quran, save us. Oh Quran, you are the assistance that can save us. Through your nur and light we can be saved. Give us the order so we can follow your hukam, your ahkams. That if you, that you will give us the light and the guidance so we can do amal on this. You are, it's Allah, the Quran, you are Quran is what teaches us the direction and the orders of Allah. Read the Quran like this. Read the Quran like this, my friends. It's your hukam and orders, and I should give my whole efforts of my life for the Quran. And today if we start reading the Quran, the rhythm and the eloquence and the beauty and the messages, Allah Ta'ala has put such husn in the Quran, that if you recite Quran from Alif Lameen, even if you daily read only 5 lines, subhanAllah, in those 5 lines you'll get the message of the whole Quran every day. With such a tariqah, the methods, the messages will come, the Quran will be repeated, the messages will be repeated to us. The examples are there, and the same events that we have to, the orders, the advice and the structure of the life, such husn beauty in the Quran, that not a second if we're reciting the Quran will we be far from Allah. Allah's orders will come, Allah's advice will come, the method of life will come. Am I right or wrong? MashaAllah, you are those who know better than me. You are pious, muttaqi individuals, and I am not useful at all in this respect. But it's not necessary to recite the whole juz of the Quran, the whole chapter. Just read 5 lines every day. Okay, I'll read 5 lines. I don't have time to do more than that. The Quran says, okay, fine. When you read 5 new lines every day, when I speak to you and discuss with you, then spend that day in the light of the advice of the Quran. Promise, the Quran says to me. And you'll get the same reward as if you recited 1 juz, 2 juz. You'll get more reward than that. This is the promise of the Quran, that you read 5 lines. I'm talking to you because you're talking to Allah at that time. When you're reading Quran, you're discussing with Allah, you're having a dialogue with Allah, and then your whole day, spend your day in accordance to those the orders and the injunctions of the 5 lines. Why? Hudallil muttaqeen, from Surah Alif Lam Mim to An-Nas. Allah Ta'ala says all of the insan in the world, Hudallil Nas. Then what does the Quran make them? Hudallil muttaqeen. So it prepares them. Allah Ta'ala prepares a qawm, a nation of people, that until Qiyamah people will be proud of these people. Look at the Sahaba, who prepared them. How great these people were. The Quran prepared them. Every verse, they would give their life for the verses of the Quran. The whole effort of their lives was for the verses of the Quran. So my brothers, let's do dua to Allah. Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to practice our lives on the Quran. And understand that the life is not some sort of minor thing which is insignificant. Allah has given us total, compact, complete way of life. Take hold of one thing. Oh, my deen. This person's pious, he's pious. This is not deen. If we're just doing one thing, prayer. If the Quran is not coming to our hearts and we're not practicing the whole Quran in our life, we cannot consider ourselves as deendar, pious people. The Quran will tell us itself, MashaAllah, shabash, good, the rewards are coming to you. You've practiced me yesterday, you listen to me today and tomorrow, then the verse will come straight away. Ah, this is the good Muslim. Paradise is waiting for you, prepared for you, the rivers are flowing for you. You are coming to me, paradise will say, don't worry, you are following my orders and my direction. Then the verses of the Quran will be practiced by the person. Is like, isn't this the Quran? Yes, but the Quran isn't for those who lie and deceive and they live their lives opposite to the Quran. No. So anyway, may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, that these few words that I've discussed with you today, may Allah Ta'ala give to all those who listen and he who spoke, may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. And the main point that I've said today,
which is topic. The summary is talab, desire, the want in the heart, the needless. Beg to Allah, Allah make us a talib, a true student. Take the dramas out of our life. Give us the ember, the glowing ember of the talab, the desire and the want in our heart, so we can become close to you and attain your pleasure. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.